Our first reading today is Psalm 116, lines 1 through 8. I love God because he listened to me, listened as I begged for mercy. He listened so intently as I laid out my case before him. Death stared me in the face. Hell was hard on my heels. Up against it, I didn't know which way to turn. Then I called out to God for help. Please, God, I cried, save my life. God is gracious. It is he who makes things right, our most compassionate God. God takes the side of the helpless. When I was at the end of my rope, he saved me. I said to myself, relax and rest. God has showered you with blessings. Soul, you've been rescued from death. Eye, you've been rescued from tears. And you, foot, were kept from stumbling. That ends the first reading.
Our second scripture reading is taken from the New Testament, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 19. Then Jesus entered and walked through Jericho. And there was a man there, his name Zacchaeus, the head taxman and quite rich. He wanted desperately to see Jesus, but the crowd was in his way, and he was a short man and could not see over the crowd. So he ran on ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus when he came by. And when Jesus got to the tree, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, hurry down. Today is my day to be a guest in your home. Zacchaeus scrambled out of the tree, hardly believing his good luck, delighted to take Jesus home with him. Everyone who saw the incident was indignant and grumped. What business does he have getting cozy with this crook? Zacchaeus just stood there, a little stunned. He stammered apologetically, Master, I give away half my income to the poor, and if I'm caught cheating, I pay four times the damages. Jesus said, today is salvation day in this home. Here he is, Zacchaeus, son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to find and restore the lost. I want to repeat just one phrase that we just heard. What Jesus said, here he is, Zacchaeus, son of Abraham. Son of Abraham. There are many delightful descriptions of great moments in the Bible. From time to time, I personally feel the need to walk another walk with Jesus down the Jericho Road. And I hope all of us will join me on this walk this morning. There is so much treasure, biblical treasure, to discover. Now, we have a tendency to give awards and prizes. Now, let me tell you, this one, this story, would get my personal vote as an Oscar winner. It is unsurpassed in description, power, beauty, and above all, message. We know that Jesus was a thorn in the flesh of the Pharisees and church leaders of his time. They were very articulate about their particular religious prejudices and never hesitated to enforce them. So in those days, they had a long list of prejudices and strict rules against, well, just about everything and everyone, except their own sinful lives. In those days, it was unbecoming for a Jew to mix with a Samaritan. Well, Jesus crossed that barrier, and a poor Samaritan woman found living water and would never, ever thirst again. In those days, it was unbecoming for a Jew to associate with or even to come near a prostitute unless you were willing to despise and condemn her. Well, Jesus crossed even that barrier, and a broken woman found forgiveness and, above all, a Savior. Now, when you do your Bible study, if you noticed that there is not a single reference in the Bible where Jesus discriminates against anyone. If you find a passage stating that Jesus had a prejudice, bring it to me, and I promise you openly, I'll stand corrected. So the question that we now have at this pivotal moment in biblical history, what would Jesus do about Zacchaeus, a known sinner and a publican? Well, Zacchaeus, the head of the tax collectors of the city of Jericho, and we now know that he was a short fellow, he heard that Jesus and some of his followers were going to pass through the city. So he really wanted to see what this so-called prophet looked like. And therefore, the Bible says, he climbed a huge sycamore tree by the roadside to get the best possible view of the master who would soon be passing by. Now, this unpopular fellow had some serious problems, especially with the other Jews in Jericho. And we do believe that at that time he found himself in a bind, and his conscience, especially his conscience, must have bothered him quite a bit. Makes me think, asking the question, have you, your conscience, ever bothered you? You think of your life thus far? Was there times or a time in your life when you felt so deeply guilty about things and you just didn't know what to do with it? Reminded me of a certain man who finally went to his doctor, and he said, "Oh, I've been misbehaving, Doc. My conscience is bothering me a lot." "So, do you want something to make your willpower stronger?" the doctor asked. "Oh, no, please, Doc. I'm more interested in something to weaken my conscience." Well, Zacchaeus was a hated tax collector. The righteous people of Israel despised tax collectors because they were hired by the Romans to tax the Jews. So the Jews looked upon them as traitors to the Jewish cause against their oppressors. So, you can imagine, in those days, there was good money to be made by any Jew who was willing to collect taxes for the hated Roman conquerors. Their fat commissions and growing wealth became theirs at the expense of their reputations, of their personalities, of being Jews. Zacchaeus' career choice cost him very dearly, dearer than he could afford. The other Jews felt that he had turned his back on his own people and also on God. Now, there's something to explain here. Even today, in a divided and torn Israel, both Muslims and Jews call Father Abraham their progenitor. That means their ancestor in the direct line. the children of Abram, Muslim, Jews, separate paths somewhere along the road. We know the history. But one thing in those days was very clear. He was their common spiritual father. And if you read the Bible says that finally Jesus was born out of the lineage of Abraham. And the Jews in their days proudly referred to themselves as the seed of Abraham. So it was something that somebody would tell you in Jerusalem those days. Who are you? Well, I'm of the seed of Abraham. Or maybe a son of Abraham. That was a very favorite thing to say. Well, I'm a son of Abraham. I'm a Jew. And the most common insult that poor Zacchaeus often heard was, go away, man. You are no longer a son of Abraham. And that was the core of the social problem that Zacchaeus had. In the eyes of everyone around him, he was no longer a son of Abraham. Therefore, the rich, despised chief collector was simply rejected by everyone. This IRS guy gathered his wealth at a tremendous price for himself. And I'm sure that people winked and giggled when the outcast of the city climbed a tree because he wanted to see Jesus. Now, our kids nowadays would say, well, he only wanted to check this guy out. He wanted to see the man of Nazareth passing by. Now our story begins. Can you imagine the electricity in the air when Jesus stopped right under the sycamore tree and said, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay in your house today. Can you imagine the reaction of the Jews? Wow, who is this Jesus? How can he do a thing like that? But the Bible says that this despised and rejected man did not hesitate for a moment. He hurried down and beckoned Jesus to follow him. And the guilty ex-son of Abraham welcomed his unexpected visitor with great joy. Now, without a doubt, this meeting behind closed doors with Jesus became the highlight of this publican's entire life. From that moment on, nothing would ever be the same again for Zacchaeus. And since that day, throughout history, countless millions have discovered that allowing this Jesus into their homes and lives can also be the greatest moment of their lives. Bless the day when I first reach out, knowing that Jesus was touching my hand. Many of you have had that experience. Because that moment, by eating with Jesus, Zacchaeus found the key to becoming a new person. What happened? He was only halfway through the meal when he stood up, the Bible says, and he interrupted the meal. He said, listen, Lord. Whoa. Listen. This is correct translation. He stood up and he said, listen, Lord, half a meal later, he had found his Savior and he called him Lord. Obviously, something happened behind closed doors the moment when Jesus became his Lord. And then he just blurted it out. I will give half of my belongings to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone, I will repay them four times over. And to what happened? Jesus had a simple statement. Today, salvation has come to this house. Now, theologians have different ways of translating the word salvation. A very popular translation for theologians is resurrection. Resurrection. How did the so-called righteous Jews feel when he entered the house of someone whom they had branded no longer to be a son of Abraham? Hear their accusation, this man is eating with sinners. Condemn this man, he's eating with sinners. Indeed, he does. Hallelujah, he does. He eats with sinners. Thank God, he's eating with us as sinners again today. Anytime a lost, unhappy person who wandered far away from God decides to allow Christ into his home and life, we know through our faith, Jesus still gladly walks through that open door. Imagine, the Prince of Peace and Glory eats with those not who could make him very popular in that town, not with them. But he eats with the one who needed him the most. And today the Master is still calling us in modern times, different times. Looking up where you and I sit hidden in a crowd, or lonesome in a sycamore tree. Come, my child. We need to have a discussion. We need to talk. Have something to say to you. Oh, the wonderful word in the Bible. You know, an anonymous taxpayer recently sent a letter to the IRS saying that she had cheated on her income tax return 2 years ago, and she had not been able to get a good night's sleep since. So she enclosed a check for $100 and she added, and if I still can't sleep, I'll send the balance. Is that not how we are? That's exactly how some folks try to negotiate with God. After meeting and eating with Jesus, Zacchaeus threw back the money that he had wrongfully grabbed and offered to pay four times over. Friend, that's the real test. Maybe the only test. Does your personal relationship with God really make a difference in the way that you live? The way that you associate with other people? The way that you deal with situations, the way that you relate to the world around you. The entire story of Jericho centers around the words with which Jesus reintroduced Zacchaeus to the disgruntled ones. They who boasted, this man is no longer a son of Abraham. And now Jesus brought Zacchaeus out after the meal, and he is going to reintroduce him to the Jews. They who were pointing fingers suddenly, unexpectedly discovered that now Jesus was pointing a finger at them. In reality, they thought they were the only ones who received a call back to God. And in that moment, they had to discover that your heritage does not determine your relationship with God. Zacchaeus found and received Jesus, and from that moment on he was no longer lost. And that is, said Jesus, that is what a true son of Abraham looks like. Your biological bloodline can never, ever determine your relationship with God. The story of Zacchaeus is really a story of resurrection out of the depth of sin in and through Jesus Christ. Not only Zacchaeus, but also those who were so sure that they did not need it, could from then on discover the way back to the heart of God. And since then, countless millions have invited Jesus into their hearts and their homes, never to fall back and never to live in sin again. Personal question. Christian, fellow Christian, brother, sister, have you thus far just watched the Master walk by under your sycamore tree? We are living 2,000 years after the time of Zacchaeus, but the message has never changed. And instead of allowing him to pass by like so many times before, let me proclaim the liberating gospel of Jesus Christ once again. Your life can be touched and changed right here, right now. Even today, begin or resume your conversation with the Master, and your life and mine will never ever be the same again. It calls for resurrection, salvation.